4CRB 89.3 FM. Nice and easy on the Gold Coast.
And a very good morning to you. It's John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group back with you for another program of The Law and You. Therefore, it must be Tuesday morning. Your opportunity to get free legal advice between now and 9:30. All you need to do is get on that telephone as soon as you possibly can. 5520888 is the number. That number again, 5520888. South the Tweed River, don't forget 07 in front of the number. Otherwise, you'll get straight through. Someone who was very quick out of the box this morning is Gavin. So we say a very good morning. Gavin, how are you today?
Oh, good morning, John. Thank you for taking my call.
No trouble. How can I help you today?
Mine is about wills.
Sure.
Two different type of wills. That I don't know the outcome yet, but I want to just ask a question. My father passed away about 14 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He had remarried, and she has only a brother. And I just want to know, when she does pass away, can I contest that will?
Yes. Well, you would be a regarded as a child. So your father remarried. So this lady is now your stepmother.
Correct.
Yep. Okay. Yes. So you would be able to bring a claim against the estate. You would come within the class of persons who would be entitled to bring a claim.
Okay. I have a brother and a sister that would be. Three of us.
Yes, so you would. So you're saying that that his new wife has no children of her own?
None whatsoever. No.
But she has a brother. And do you have reason to believe that she would not be leaving the estate to you?
I believe so, yes.
All right. Okay. Well, yes. Look, unfortunately, it's a rather sad situation that, and it is a bit of a problem. Second marriages and becoming increasingly so. The difficulty often is how to protect the estate, and it's something that we often have to advise clients on. In those situations, how they can set their estate planning up so that assets are preserved for the children of either party to the second marriage. The other thing that's quite interesting is the number of people who, when their partner passes away, then go on to change their will and don't provide for the children of the first marriage. There often are deep-seated resentments there that don't come out while both parties are alive, but sadly, when one of them passes away, it presents the opportunity for those sorts of things to happen, which is quite sad. But yes, look, the good news for you is that you will be in a position where you can bring a claim. It doesn't automatically mean that you'll be successful in relation to that claim, because there are criteria laid down as to whether you would be successful in your claim. But certainly, you would get past the first hurdle.
Right. Yeah. My second one. Thank you for that.
Yep.
Is another do with another will. Way back, unfortunately, in the older days, women didn't count by a little bit, because my wife's uncle, he has left a will, but only to the two nephews and not to the nieces.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, they are not mentioned, because back, well, his way of life back then was that women didn't count. The boys got to get the will. You can see actually. Contest that one as well?
No, unfortunately, when a nephew or a niece, unless they were financially dependent upon the deceased at the time that they passed away, nephews and nieces don't come within the class that can make a claim. The only people who can make a claim at any time are the spouse of the deceased or partner of the deceased, dependent children of the deceased, which includes stepchildren, and also anyone who was financially dependent upon the deceased at the time of death. So, unfortunately, in that situation, there wouldn't be any joy there. I'm sorry, Gavin. I hate to tell you, but it's still not uncommon for that to happen these days, particularly in rural situations. It's sadly still a common thing that the farm might often be left to the eldest son To the exclusion of other children. And, you know, we've seen some rather sad cases in that situation, because the big problem, of course, with a rural property is that quite often you can't split it up. It has to be sold in order to divide the estate. So that was the reasoning, I think, behind why often the farm was left to the eldest son, particularly if the eldest son was working on the farm.
This is where the uncle had no children, no relatives left.
Mm.
He decided to give the two nephews, you know, the property, but the nieces, the two sisters, miss out.
Yeah, so, well, the only thing the sisters can do is to talk to the nephews and see whether they might be prepared to consider splitting the estate between the all of the nephews and nieces. But it's again, it's not uncommon that greed takes over in these situations, and quite often people who've been left provision under the estate, even though it might be morally right that they should give something to someone else, sadly they often don't quite see it that way.
Thank you very much for your time and effort. I appreciate it.
Okay, Gavin, all the very best. You're in tune with 4CRB, 89.3 FM. The time is 12 minutes past 9. It's a quiet morning this morning. We presently don't have any calls online, so if you have a question or a query, you need some legal advice this morning, give us a call straight away. 55208888 is that number. That number again, 55208888. One of the things I wanted to talk about, I've tried actually over the last few weeks to talk about, relates to the number of scams that are going on at the present time. And these are not only telephone scams where people ring up and pretend to impersonate energy suppliers or telecommunications companies, but also we've been increasingly seeing this happen with text messages. So I've actually received text messages on my phone, allegedly from one of the major banks, saying that my account has been locked because of something or other, and to log on to sort the problem out. Fortunately, for me, the text message that came through, I don't actually bank with that bank. So immediately I knew that it was a false message. But even if it had come through as a message from one of the banks that I do deal with, the last thing I would ever do would be either log on through a link in a text message, or alternatively, a link in an email. So whatever you do, if you do receive a text message and you're concerned about it, my advice would be that you ring your bank and just tell them what you've received, because the banks also keep on their website, and particularly in your account, they keep a record of all the emails or text messages that they're sending to you. So they have a record there and can immediately tell you whether, in fact, the communication is a valid one or not, and would be able to sort that out. But whatever you do, please do not open any links that come through on text messages or emails asking you to log on because there's some problem with your account. It is far better to be safe than sorry. And while on that subject too, the other issue that that I have seen with emails recently is emails that come through purporting to be business emails and saying that they've got something attached to them. For example, it might be a tax invoice or some other form of communication that the company is saying that they're sending to you. And quite often these can also appear to be emails from banks or from energy suppliers, that sort of thing. And telecommunication companies. And again, never ever click on a link on an email or an attachment on an email that you receive unless you know for sure that where it's come from and that it is legitimate, because quite often those attachments in fact have a program in them which can infiltrate your computer. At worst, it might be a virus that completely shuts down your computer, and this particularly happens with businesses where they call it ransomware, where someone will send a message, and by opening the attachment, it basically shuts down your whole business computer system, and then you get an email or a message that says that unless you pay them X thousands of dollars, that they won't reopen your accounts. And I have known of this sort of ransomware being sent to medical centres and other businesses on the Gold Coast, causing a huge amount of problem. And the difficulty often is that the ransomware is so encrypted that it is simply not possible to break the codes on it, or extremely difficult to do so, and you could be wasting weeks, if not months of time, plus thousands of dollars in doing so. And in the meantime, of course, you don't know what they're doing with the information. So sadly, in some of these cases, it's been necessary for the businesses to pay the money that's been asked for so that they can have the ransomware taken off their computer. So just a little bit of advice there. It is a real problem, and as communication through mobile phones and computers and all of these things becomes more and more prevalent, so the scammers are becoming more and more sophisticated at impersonating people. So just watch out for that. You're in tune with 4CRB, 89.3 FM. The Law and You is the program. 5520888 is that number. If you have a question or a query, please get on that telephone as soon as you possibly can. We've only got about 13 minutes left in the program, so, and the lines are presently free. 5520888. We'll be back after this word from our sponsor.
When you're here with me, all of my worries, they disappear.
Whether you need support at home or to move into aged care, AusCare's team of nurses, carers, allied health and dementia specialists can help you. With over 20 years' experience and 60 locations around Queensland, you're in safe hands. Make the switch to AusCare. Call 1-800-AUSCARE today.
AusCare feels like home.
Another sponsor.
A wide variety of nutritious, fresh, frozen or packaged meals are available at our sponsor Palm Beach Meals on Wheels. Free delivery or collect from 31 10th Avenue, Palm Beach. Visit palmbeachshareandcare.com.au.
You're in tune with 4CRB 89.3 FM. The Law and You is the program. 5520888 the number. If you have a question or a query, that number again, 5520888. And while we're waiting for some callers to come in, just a little bit more on that issue I was talking about earlier with these scams. Tommy, who's in here panelling for me this morning, was just telling me during that break that he in fact received an email the other day from a bank, which he said looked extremely authentic. But when he scrolled back, because he thought, well, I would have received messages from my bank previously, when he scrolled back, he found that the message, in fact, had come on a number via a completely different business, legitimate business that he's had dealings with. And so obviously what had happened there is that the scammers had somehow broken into the computer of that legitimate business and were using all those numbers that they'd picked up out of that business's computers to send these random emails out purporting to impersonate a bank. So that just goes to show just how serious these things can be. But enough of that. We have Ray online. Good morning, Ray. How are you today? Hello, Ray. Are you there?
Yes. John.
Yes. How can I help you today?
Yeah, I'm sorry about the, I know you're doing the scams and stuff.
No, we're doing anything at all, Ray. Yeah, so no, whatever your question or query is, it's fine.
Just a quick one, I hope, John. Mm. I don't know whether you can give me some advice, but, you know, my wife and I have done our wills just recently.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting into wills and the question is, do you think it's a good idea to assemble the beneficiaries of all this together before the situation, you know, while we've still got all our faculties,
mm-hmm.
and explain to them, or is it best to let them work it out amongst themselves once we're gone?
Well, I think it all depends on the family situation, Ray. So is this a first marriage for you and your wife?
Oh, no, both of us have been married before,
right.
And we've made decisions because our previous partners have got money and, mm-hmm. you know, and instead of cross, you know, if you give us, you know, mm-hmm. our children have been entitled to some of yours, and mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Yep.
And I thought, well, we've made the decision on which we want to do, and
yep.
we've had covering letters as to why we're doing what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought there's a couple of members that have sort of sniffing at the edges and trying to find out what the story is. And I thought, well, is it best to get them as a group or individually and explain it to them? Or,
yes.
or you think of that's opening Pandora's
box? Well, look, it can go one of two ways, can't it? I mean, it will either they'll either accept it and think, yes, that's reasonable, or alternatively, it could make a presently relatively good relationship turn sour quite quickly. And unfortunately, you and your wife are probably the only two who can determine what the reaction is likely to be. So it's a very difficult one, Ray, to be able to give you any definitive advice on. I mean, for example, I had some clients in some years ago from North Queensland, quite a wealthy family. They wanted to get all their kids in before they signed the wills to explain what they'd done in the wills. So we ended up having a family meeting, in our office. Fortunately, all the children were down here on holiday and, went through the whole thing with them, and it went, extremely well. But the situation there, of course, is that it was a first marriage, not a second marriage. And as I was saying to Gavin, who rang earlier, you might have heard, his situation where, his father's passed away but had remarried some years ago, and he thinks it's likely that his, I gather from what he said, that his stepmother received everything under the estate, and he thinks it's likely she's going to leave the estate to her brother rather than leaving anything to Gavin and his siblings. So, there are those issues, and unfortunately I think it's only something that you and your wife can probably determine whether you think it's going to go well. But certainly doing a statement of wishes as to why you've done what you've done, is a very good thing to do. And I think you mentioned there before that you've done letters to, explain all of this.
Yeah, we have with the solicitor. We put a covering letter with it, my wife now, who, my stepson, if you like, he's being tested by my ex-wife's my two daughters. I mean, they haven't spoken to me. They haven't spoken to me for 10 years,
right?
But my daughters, that is. But the thing about it is that they're sniffing at the edges to see what information he can get.
Yeah, so okay.
See, I'm all for it. I'm all for saying, well, look, this is the way it is, and this is why. But my wife's totally against it. She said, she'd rather see them throw hand grenades at one another after we go. You know?
Well, look, it's probably going to be a case that if it doesn't go well, they're going to throw hand grenades now. Not that they can really do much while you're alive, but other than make life perhaps slightly less pleasant than it is now, or the alternative is they can do it all after you're gone. And the other thing too, of course, to bear in mind is that, on the law of averages, a wife will outlive a husband, which means that your wife will probably be left at the end. So it's a question of what pressure she might come under from family members, etc. And that's all a factor as well.
Without saying too much, I mean, if anything happens to me, it automatically filters to her anyway, And then I didn't want her to be having to suffer the slings and arrows, if you like.
Yes, yes. Well, the other thing, of course, that you need to bear in mind is that unless you make mutual wills or look at some other strategy, there's nothing that would prevent your wife from making a new will after you pass away.
That goes without saying, I guess. But
that's something to think about, because...
So you don't think that it's...
As I say, look, I don't really think I can tell you, Ray, because don't know the family dynamics enough. So, sadly, I think it's one that you and your wife are going to have to make a decision on. All right, then.
I'm in the family and I don't understand it.
What do they say? The more I see of human nature, the more I like my dog. All the very best, Ray.
As my doctor said to me one day, I said to him, I made so many mistakes. He said, welcome to the human race.
Yeah, that's it, for sure. All the best.
Thanks very much.
Cheers now. And the time is just coming up to 26 minutes past nine. We say good morning to Bob. G'day, Bob. How are you today?
Hello.
Yeah, Bob, how are you today?
Good, thank you.
How can I help you today?
Mine is to do with a family matter.
Yep.
My stepdaughter committed suicide 4 years ago, and now my wife is estranged from the children because of the argument between her and my son-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
The son-in-law blames my wife, and my wife blames the son-in-law. But anyway,
right.
So she's not allowed to see the children who are aged 10 and 8.
She's estranged from the grandchildren.
She's estranged from the grandchildren, mm-hmm. whereas I can see them,
mm-hmm.
and I only do that to keep in touch.
Yep.
Now, we want to put the children first,
mm.
but we just want to know what our likelihood of success if you go to some sort of mediation or is that likely?
Yeah, you can bring an application under the Family Law Act as a grandparent to have access to your grandchildren. So what you need to do is to consult an experienced family lawyer who would be able to advise you on that. If you wanted to get some preliminary advice in relation to the matter, which area of the Gold Coast do you live, Bob?
Southport.
Okay, well, up at Southport, you've got the Citizens Advice Bureau, or now called Gold Coast Community Legal Centre. So you could give them a call, make an appointment and go in and see them to get some preliminary advice if you wish to. That might be a good starting point, and then you could then go and see a solicitor after that.
Wouldn't I get the same sort of thing if I went to see an experienced family lawyer?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The only reason I'm suggesting Citizens Advice Bureau is that you would get that preliminary advice without fee. Right. But if you're ready to go, you're ready to proceed and bring an application, then yes, no, just you make, if you don't have a family lawyer or you don't know an experienced family lawyer, you could ring the Queensland Law Society and they would certainly be able to give you a recommendation to one.
Yeah. Yeah, and that'd be in Brisbane.
Yes, do you want the number for the Law Society?
Oh, no, because I haven't got a pen and I can't write down numbers on my phone. I'm not.
Oh, right,
enough.
Okay.
I'm too old. But
do you have a computer at all?
Yeah.
Okay, well, if you just Google Queensland Law Society and the number will come up and you can give them a call and just ask them for a recommendation to an experienced family law practitioner in your area. All right, then?
Okay, thanks very much.
Okay, Bob,
thanks.
All the very best.
Bye-bye.
Well, a late run there of calls, very quiet to start with, but thank you to Gavin, Ray and Bob for calling in. And also, I haven't had a chance yet to thank my colleague Margaret Miller, who very kindly stepped in for me at the 11th hour last week to present the law anew. So thank you, Margaret, for that. Huge program last week. 8 calls came in, so that was obviously the audience was preferring Margaret. But thank you nonetheless, Margaret, for doing that. I'll look forward to being back with you, of course, next week for the Law on You. So until then, this is Jod Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group saying, as always, goodbye and God bless.